Are you generous? I mean, really, folks, are you generous? Because we always think, oh, I'm not rich, I can't be generous. With whatever you have, learn to be the hands and feet of God. Learn to give, learn to help. When you see someone who is down and out, don't talk about this, sit on their front porch and collect their checks. Stop saying that. You say, well, don't you know that will happen? Well, folks, no, I'm not stupid. Yes, I know that happens. Your job is not to sit back and do all that criticizing. Your job is to say, God has blessed me. God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve and build your kingdom? Because that's biblical. That's biblical.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Debt by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Today's message is in our series on the parables of Christ. And we're talking about debt, but it's much more than just financial debt. I mean, it's somewhere we're going to talk about that, but it's really debt is referring to sin. And when we talk about debt collection, we're really talking about forgiveness of sins. And the message in a nutshell is very simple. Here it is. Unless you understand how God has canceled your sin debt towards Him through Jesus Christ, you will never truly understand how to cancel the sin debt of someone else towards you. I'll repeat that again. Unless you understand how God has canceled your sin debt, my sin debt towards Him through Jesus Christ, you will never understand how to cancel the sin debt of someone towards you. You'll never. You can say, I'm sorry, I forgive you, or whatever, my apologies. You'll never understand. And this morning, that's where we're headed with this message titled Debt. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 23. And once again, as we always do, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay up what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged, and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in and said, you wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Verse 35, would you read it with me? This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. This morning, we're going to talk about debt. Financial debt, but much more than just finances. But parables are like mirrors. You see yourself in the story. So the question is, are you that wicked servant who had a massive debt forgiven And yet he went out and took another by the throat and said, pay up. The parable of the unforgiving servant is very basic and it's very simple on the surface, but it's very baffling and complex the more you study it. The more you look at it, you realize there are so many questions that we simply gloss over and we never think about. Questions like this: why is sin described as a debt? I mean, in what way do we owe a debt to God? Does God give us a certain amount of holiness and then he requires it back? You know, that's not true. Here's another question. What is the connection, as I mentioned a few moments ago, of our sin debt to God and others' sin debt towards us? What is the connection between the divine sin debt and the human sin debt? Because apparently there is a connection. Here's another question. Why is it so hard for us to cancel the debt of others? In other words, why is it so hard for us to forgive someone who has done us wrong? And I truly believe, and I know you will agree with me, I believe you will agree with me, is it really that we cannot cancel one sin debt? Is it really that one thing that did against us that we have a tough time forgiving? If you're really honest and think about it, it's not about that one thing. If everybody just did one thing to us, it would be easy to say, hey, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. We're done. It's okay. It's all right. Everybody makes mistakes. Now we're back on the same place. It's the fear that you will do it again. Right? Trust has been broken. Now what's going to happen? Can I really trust you? So if I forgive you, you're going to come back and inflict the same pain, but in this time it'll be worse. So can I really let you off the hook? I mean, that's again the question coming out of this text. And here's the big question. Can I be saved? Can I truly be saved if I refuse to forgive someone? He said, oh, no, that's not, you know. Wait. Think about that verse again. Jesus, was he just bluffing? Was he just saying, yeah, I said that, but I really didn't mean it? When he said, so also your heavenly Father will do to you unless you forgive someone from the heart. Which means, folks, you'll be in hell if you don't forgive. So many questions I don't believe I can answer in the next 20 minutes. It's impossible to do that. So this is a multi-part series, and a word to the wise, do come and listen. It's on you. This message, these series are going to be very important in your life. And if you skip out or you're doing something, it's on you. I've done my best. So make sure you're here for that. We're going to handle the first question first, which is, why is sin described as a debt? What is the meaning of that? Now, there are two reasons, and we're going to look at both those reasons, but this is a question we cannot just answer just like this and move on. We have to truly grasp this because it's laying the foundation for this entire idea of forgiveness. So why is sin described as a debt? Why did Jesus talk about debt? Forgive your debts. The common mistake people make in studying this parable is that they quickly jump over the word debt and start talking about sin. They quickly go from, okay, Jesus said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Okay, that's done. Let's talk about your sin towards God and how you have sinned against his holiness and how you have broken his commandments. Wait. Before we can start talking about the spiritual idea of a sin debt, we need to focus again on the reason Jesus used the word debt. To understand that, let's back up in that parable to just two verses prior to Matthew 18, verse 21. It's on the screen. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? And what did Jesus say? Jesus answered, and I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, we all know this. 77 times or 70 times 7, was Jesus saying, you know, forgive them 490 times? We all heard messages on that. That's not true, right? What does that mean? Keep forgiving. Why did Peter use the number 7? And why did Jesus say 70 times 7? Why didn't Peter say, hey, can I forgive 3 times and then, you know, it's pretty much I get to hold a grudge? Oh, no, not 3 times, but 3 times 3. Why did Jesus not use the number 5? Or why did he not use the number 10? 10 would be even more, right? Do I need to forgive only 10? No, 10 times 10. Or 10 times 100. Why the number 7? Please listen, because the number 7 in the Old Testament is the number of fulfillment. It was the number of Sabbath. It is very significant when it comes to debt. Let me read for you two passages. The first one is in Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. This was not random. It's like, okay, how about 7? No, this was a number associated with forgiving debt. According to the Old Testament law, when it comes to the 7th year, debts were canceled. Verse 2, and this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother because it is called the Lord's release. How many of y'all would have loved to live back then? The 7th year, oh, it's over, gone. Listen to Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. And you shall count 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself. 7 times 7 years. There's a reason why Jesus says 7 times 7. 7 times 7 years, and the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to you 49 years. They knew how to do math back then. 49 years. Then, listen, then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month on the Day of Atonement. And you shall consecrate the 50th year. 49 years, they're serving you. They cannot pay their bills. Every 7th year you pardon them, but because the debt is such that now they are your slave, in the 50th year something happens. What happens? And proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you. That's where we get the word jubilant. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Therefore, you shall not oppress one another, but you shall fear your God, for I am the Lord your God. Then the land will yield its fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell there in safety. So when Peter asked the question about forgiveness and used the word number 7, and Jesus talked about 70 times 7, it was not just picking a number. They were talking back to the Old Testament law where the 7th year debts are canceled and the 50th year after the 49th, slaves are set free. But something else I want us to pay attention to, look at the screen. Leviticus 25, verse 23. What does it say? The land shall not be sold permanently. Now read that last line with me. For the land is mine. Now keep that tucked away in your brain. For the land is mine. Who's saying these words? God is. What he's telling his people is, you can do these transactions, you can work hard, work smart, accumulate more land. Hey, listen, this family over here, they don't know how to manage their finances. They're coming to you for help, and in time there's a foreclosure, you get all their property. Okay, you've grown, you have become wealthy. Wonderful. That's great. You help people out. You don't try to put them in debtor's prison. No, you give them a chance or two. It's all right. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But at the end of the day, don't forget, it's not yours. This whole land is mine, says the Lord. Something else, in going back to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it's on the screen again. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for, read it with me, All the earth is mine. All the earth is mine. Who is saying these words? God is. You know, when Jesus came into this world to preach the gospel and to give his sacrifice on the cross, repeatedly he talked about debt. Repeatedly he talked about finances. There's a reason for that. You know, the Pharisees, we talked a lot about the Pharisees, had created a system called prosbul. It was a system, according to the system, the debt collector could give someone's debt over to the court. Now, if it's individual debt, at the end of the seventh year, what's going to happen? If you owe me $1,000, at the end of the seventh year, I got to forgive you. What happens at the end of the 49th year, if you are my slave because of debts your grandparents have accumulated, now I have to forgive you, I have to give you back your land. But the Pharisees came up with this system called prosbul. According to this system, the debt collector could give someone's debt over to the court. They're still in charge, but now it's not me, it belongs to the court. So what happens? No longer do you have to pardon that debt. What happens at the end of the seventh year? I'm not holding the lien on their property. I'm not holding the lien on their farm. The court is, but really, you are. Now, in a way, it was a win-win situation. You say, what do you mean by win-win? Folks, if you were a creditor, what would you do in the sixth year? Would you ever loan out any money? What would you do? Come on, y'all. Maybe y'all not creditors. Are y'all broke? What would you do in the sixth year? You're like, man, I just don't have any money. I can't help you out. Come back in a year or two. What you're saying is, when I have time to collect my money back, I'm not. So they had stopped giving. So it was a win-win situation. Here's a poor sharecropper coming to a rich landlord. Hey, can I have? Yeah, sure, you can have it. We'll let the court hold it. What a great system. It's a win-win because now the landlord can loan money, loan property, and still get it back in the 8th and 9th and 10th year, or the 15th and 16th and 17th year, and the poor farmer can also have property, have money to do their job. It was great, right? Isn't that a win-win situation? But there was a problem. The debt kept mounting. It kept growing to a point that it was absolutely impossible for people to get out of their debt. The only way you can do that, two ways really, foreclosure or slavery. So when Jesus was preaching the gospel in those 3.5 years or whatever, there were people who were in massive debt. Does that sound familiar? He talks about in Matthew 6:12, what does he say? Forgive us our debts. Not just transgressions, debts, as we forgive our debtors. And then he gave a parable about a creditor had two debtors. One had owed him 500, another one owed him 50. Which one would love him more if he were to forgive? Of course, the one who had more. And then this parable of this unforgiving servant. How much did he owe? How much did he owe? 10,000 talents. How much is talents? You know, people don't know, so it's very hard to tell what exactly is happening. Is 10,000 pennies or what is talents? Well, one talent is really, it's a measure of weight, would be equal to 60 to 90 pounds. Depends on whether it was gold or silver or copper. So one talent is about 60 to 90 pounds. When we're talking about 10,000 talents, we're really talking about close to 225 tons of whatever it is. 225 tons. How much is one talent, let's say, of gold? We're talking about close to 6,000 denarii. Now do the math. How much would 10,000 talent be in denarii? If one is 6,000, 10,000 times 6,000, we're talking about how much? 60 million. Now, even that sometimes may not make sense unless you have a little more information. I did some math, I did some research to figure out exactly what this comes down to. Well, think about King Herod. King Herod who built the temple. King Herod who was a great architect. King Herod. Did you know that yearly, they did the math, there are books out there, he brought in only 900 talents of gold. That was his annual income. How much did we say? 10,000. It would take King Herod 10 years to pay back that debt. If he never spent a penny or dime or anything and just kept whatever he came in, he was giving out. It would take King Herod 10 years, which means what? It is impossible. There is no way that that servant can ever pay back that money. A common laborer could work all day and get one denarii. 60,000, 60 million denarii? It's impossible. You know, when Jesus was preaching, people understood what he was talking about. He was talking about financial debt. He was talking about people struggling with money. And I want to say something, folks. I'm a capitalist. And I've actually studied it versus people who just mouth off capitalism. I actually studied it. You know, true capitalism is not about get all the money you can. That's not capitalism. That's greed. You know what true capitalism is? God has blessed me to do all this so that I will become his hands and feet in this world. So I will feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and share the gospel with the poor. My question to you is, if you were living back then, 2,000 years ago, what Jesus would have pointed his finger at you and said, you, forgive their debts as God has forgiven yours. Would he say that to you? Are you generous? I mean, really, folks, are you generous? Because we always think, oh, I'm not rich, I can't be generous. With whatever you have, learn to be the hands and feet of God. Learn to give, learn to help. When you see someone who is down and out, don't talk about this, sit on their front porch and collect their checks. Stop saying that. You say, well, don't you know that will happen? Oh, folks, no, I'm not stupid. Yes, I know that happens. Your job is not to sit back and do all that criticizing. Your job is to say, God has blessed me. God, what do you want me to do? How can I serve and build your kingdom? Because that's biblical. That's biblical. We can criticize all day long, but that doesn't mean anything. Jesus, when he came, he addressed an issue that was a big deal for people. They were struggling, they were suffering. And the question is, are you generous? Now, clearly, we have a lot of people who are generous. But are you? Are you generous? So, there you have it. There's a reason why Jesus talked about debt. But now here comes the second part of that question in the next 5 minutes. What does debt, financial debt, have to do with sin? What is the connection between I owe money to my creditors and this is now sin before God? Or now I have to forgive the sin of others, the sin debt. What is the connection? Well, in the Bible, sin is defined by metaphors. For example, sometimes sin is a burden. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Sometimes sin is described as a stain that has to be washed. Sometimes it's slavery. You're in bondage to Egypt and you have to be set free. But many times sin is described as a debt. Let me give you a verse from Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. If a person sins in hearing the utterance of an oath, and is a witness, whether he has seen or known of the matter, if he does not tell it, he bears guilt. In other words, he is assuming a debt. When we sin, we are assuming a debt. Towards whom? Towards God. You see, you already said that. What does that have to do with this? It has to do with the land. You know, this whole idea of sin being debt became very prominent once the children of Israel were taken into exile. And the prophets, if you ever study Old Testament, repeatedly talked about forgiveness of sin as if God is paying your debt. Listen to two of them. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 11. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of one stronger than he. To us, it doesn't make sense. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
I don't know.
But the people of Israel, the first century audience, they knew because they were in debt to God. They were on God's land. And they were still sinning. And the prophet said, God has to redeem you. God has to forgive you of what you owe to him. This is his land. Here is Zechariah chapter 9 verse 12. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today I declare that I will restore double to you. So when you work for the Lord, listen, when you work for the Lord, God says, if you truly work hard for me, I will pay you double. So you can pay me back. Are you getting this? In that audience, people knew what Jesus meant when he said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And by the way, when Jesus came, what did he preach? In Matthew 20, 28, it says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, to us, all we think about is, man, Jesus died on the cross for my sins. But the first people who heard the gospel, they understood what Jesus meant when he said, I have come to pay your debt. Listen to how Paul addresses this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. It's on the screen. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, forgiven you all your debts. How has God forgiven you your debt? Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You know what God did with your sin debt? The way he did it for the people of Israel, same with us. We may not have the land, but same principle applies. It's a debt, listen, it's a debt you can never, ever repay. Folks, unless you understand this, you will never understand how to forgive other people. You know the breath I'm breathing? My heart beating, my brain waves functioning, all that I'm doing over here, the smart decisions I'm making, the wise decisions I'm making, the blessings that I'm accumulating, everything belongs to him because I'm on his land. Unless that fundamentally alters your mind and how you think, you will always hold a grudge against people. He took what you owed to God for living on his earth, for living under his grace. And he took all that sin and he nailed it to the cross and he wiped it clean with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Hopefully it helped you understand your sin as a debt that you can never repay. When we see our sin debt, we get a better understanding of God's forgiveness and we're encouraged to extend that forgiveness to other people. Have you trusted in God for the forgiveness of your sins? Do that today. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.